From the moment Elaine Welteroth entered the world, blue from oxygen deprivation with the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck, her life was marked by dramatic entrances and powerful transformations. When the nurse placed her in her mother's arms, her gospel singer mother's multi-octave, "Thank you, Jesus," echoed through the hospital halls, a celebration that would become symbolic of Elaine's journey. Growing up biracial in predominantly white spaces, from suburban California to the hallowed halls of Condé Nast, Elaine's story speaks to anyone who has felt othered or underestimated. Her memoir isn't just a career guide, it's a cultural touchstone that arrived just as conversations about representation in media reached a critical moment. In Newark, California, a predominantly white, middle-class suburb, Elaine existed in a constant state of in-between. Her parents came from contrasting backgrounds. Her gospel-singing Black mother from the South, who rose from grocery bagger to aerospace corporation employee, and her blue-eyed carpenter father of German descent, who loved B.B. King. Together, they created a home where their children were encouraged to become exactly who they were born to be. Elaine first realized race was a thing during a preschool collage assignment representing her family. Finding only white families in the provided magazines, she used those images. When her teacher awkwardly pointed out Black girls in other magazines, Elaine felt singled out and ashamed. At home, her mother responded with a loving intervention, using Ebony and Essence magazines, helping her create a new collage that better represented their family. This dual existence, navigating white spaces, while her mother counterbalanced with West African dance classes, braided hair, soul food, and Black culture, created a complex relationship with identity that eventually became Elaine's strength. Being mixed race meant accessing two worlds while never fully belonging to either. Through analyzing India Ari's I Am Not My Hair in college, Elaine developed critical tools to examine cultural messages about race and gender, helping her embrace her identity and understand her own light skin privilege. Even as a child, Elaine displayed the entrepreneurial spirit that would define her career. She built backyard beauty salons with friends, created imaginary magazines with saran-wrapped glossy covers, and crafted elaborate photo album collages. During bath time, she'd use the showerhead as a microphone, pretending to be Barbara Walters or Oprah interviewing celebrities. These weren't mere games, but early manifestations of her future. When her father discovered her writing talent in third grade, his enthusiastic praise, "Wowie zowie, Lainey, this is out of sight. You're a great writer," instantly transformed her favorite subject from math to English. Childhood also brought challenges. Her father's alcoholism affected their family, driving Elaine to seek approval through achievement and developing an impulse to overcompensate. For years, she felt like an imposter with a hidden flaw. Eventually, Elaine learned that shame follows wherever you go until you make peace with it, and that sometimes our deepest hurts become our greatest propellants. In fifth grade, Elaine discovered she wasn't one of the beautiful people after finding a crumpled paper ranking girls from pretty to but ugly. Throughout our lives, we're told what beauty is and who possesses it, while those marginalized rarely define it for themselves. Elaine's relationship with her hair mirrored her path to self-acceptance. She didn't discover her naturally curly hair until fifth grade, as her mom had kept it in braids during childhood. Being biracial with curly hair and light brown skin gave her an ethnic camouflage that let her blend with various groups. College became an awkward but essential space to explore her Black identity on her own terms. At 14, Elaine yearned for love, to get shows, and understand what love songs meant. Her first romance began dreamily but developed a pattern of inconsistency that damaged her self-worth. Ignoring red flags, she followed him to Sacramento State instead of pursuing Stanford. When he was arrested on felony charges, she lived a double life: successful student by day, devoted girlfriend making long drives to visit him in jail by night. Years later, at 24, another relationship with a Harvard-educated banker tested her self-worth. Despite early gifts like diamond earrings, she found herself becoming diminished. After discovering his infidelity, Elaine focused not on saving the relationship, but on reclaiming her surrendered identity, her voice, confidence, and personal style. This breakup wasn't just heartbreaking, it was heart-opening, allowing light to shine through again. After college, Elaine secured an internship at Ebony Magazine under Harriet Cole's mentorship. Though the office was nothing like the glamorous media spaces she'd seen on TV, no fancy marquee sign, dingy carpets, and a fashion closet that was merely a storage room, Elaine thrived there, boldly changing her email signature from editorial intern to production assistant. During the 2008 recession, when publishing jobs were disappearing, Elaine negotiated her hourly rate from $10 to $20, doubling her income overnight. She seized every opportunity, creating a beauty department single-handedly, chasing Fashion Week invites, writing feature stories, and building their digital presence despite budget constraints. After 2 years, Elaine made the leap to Glamour magazine, a step down in responsibility, but up in pay and prestige. Moving from Ebony's all-black office to Glamour's mainstream beauty department was transformative, though she sometimes felt like a token black hire. Her big break came when she became the beauty director at Teen Vogue, the first black beauty director in Condé Nast's 107-year history. As Teen Vogue's beauty director and later editor, Elaine defied industry norms by featuring black models on covers and hiring black creatives. Their August cover with three black models, Iman Hammam, Aya Jones, and Lenaizi Montero, challenged the belief that models, people without household recognition, and black people wouldn't sell, yet became their highest-selling cover that year. After Donald Trump's election, Teen Vogue evolved to include political coverage alongside fashion. Lauren Duca's piece, Trump is Gaslighting America, went viral, boosting digital traffic from 2 million to 12 million and increasing print subscriptions by triple digits. Despite the success, executives unexpectedly announced the closure of the print magazine. Though Anna Wintour offered Elaine a chance to create her own role at Condé Nast, filmmaker Ava DuVernay challenged her, "I think the universe is calling you to be a little bit braver right now." The next day, Elaine resigned, leaving the building where her first dream came true, feeling lighter and freer. Our lives aren't defined by single destinations, but by a series of dreams realized. Job titles are temporary, while purpose is infinite. When you exist in the space between dreams realized, parts of you will feel too big for where you are and too small for where you're going. Go anyway. Don't wait, don't wonder if you can, don't ask permission. Remember, you have done enough. You are enough. You were born enough. The world is waiting on you.